Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. When I think of the scripture where the tempter has come, I often reminisce on the humorous story of the lady and husband that had been married for many years, and she had a great temptation. It was a shopping temptation, an addiction, he would call it. She would just say, "Well, it's not really an addiction. I just shop a little more than I need to." And he encouraged her. He said, "When you go, just say a little prayer that God will give you strength, that you won't be tempted to buy something you don't need." So she said, "I'll try that." And just a few days later, she came home with this beautiful dress. The husband knew it had to be expensive. He could just see the dollar signs hanging on each sleeve in his mind. And he asked her, he said, "Honey, did you not pray about this?" She said, "Yes, I prayed. And I even recited scripture." She said, "I prayed and I said, 'Lord, help me, and get thou behind me, Satan.'" And she said, "And then I heard a voice. And he said, 'I am behind you, and it looks good from back here, too.'" The tempter can be persuasive. And so it is in our passage of Scripture today. But in the words of William Barclay, as he reflects on the Gospel of Matthew, Barclay says this. He said, "The word that we receive in this passage so often as tempt is more accurately interpreted in the Greek, as test. It was a time of testing," Barclay would say, "for Jesus more than a time for tempting." Well, we all, as people of faith, know something about tests. We know about tests in life. At times in family, on our faith journey, we know what it is to receive that challenge, that test. And oftentimes we wonder and we struggle, is this of God or is it of the tempter? Well, one thing is certain. Scripture shares with us many examples of times when people of deep faith were indeed tested by God. The father Abraham, as he wrestled with the call from on high to sacrifice his firstborn son, the scripture tells us he was tested by God to see if he would be obedient. And then the people Israel, as Moses journeyed with them through the Exodus passages, it tells us of them being tested by God. And then here, the Lord of life, the giver of salvation, Jesus himself, our scripture says, was led out into the wilderness by the Spirit. The Spirit inspired Jesus to be tested. So I guess the question that lays before us now, it's not if we as people of faith are going to be tested. Maybe the question is when, and the deeper peril and question for many of us, if we're honest, is why? Why are we tested? What's the purpose? You know, we're not the first to ask why. When we find ourselves dealing with illnesses or abuses or pains in our own life or those that we love. I visited with a family just this week, a friend of mine in Tupelo named Susan. Susan is in her early 60s, and she's been diagnosed with a deathly illness. She's a deep woman of faith, and she trusts God. But in the midst of all of her faith, there's still a hint of a question. Maybe not so much for Susan herself, but for her family, her caregivers. And even when they're honest, there's anger and there's cry outs to God of why. Why? Why would such a good person go through this? Why would a person of love and care for others be tested in this way? We all can insert our own examples of questions, trying to search for meaning in those times when we were tested on our journey of life and faith. And you know, I find comfort in hearing this, that the great forerunners in our faith, those who are the hall of fame of people walking in the way of the Lord, also had their questions. There's a beautiful account in the book of Judges in chapter 6 where Gideon receives the call from God to be the mighty warrior. God says, Gideon, I'm going to lead you and the people Israel to win this battle against the Midianites. The Midianites had been destroying the people Israel. And Gideon, read this when you get a chance sometime. Go back and take a look. In Judges 6, Gideon says this, pardon me, Lord. That's the way the NIV interprets it. Pardon me, Lord, but if you are with us, then why is all of this happening? I can relate to that question of Gideon. I've asked that question of Gideon in my own way. God, if I'm with you, if I'm your child, if I'm practicing my faith, then why am I going through all this peril? Why are we, like the people of Israel, finding ourselves at times under attack, or in the words of my friends that go through peril, why are we being tested this way? It's human to ask and wrestle. You know, I think about the passage of Scripture from Isaiah 43. Those famous words where the prophet says this, when you walk through the waters, the Lord says, I'll be with you. When you go through the fires, you won't be tortured or destroyed. Oftentimes when I heard those words in times past, I would gain confidence in saying God is with us, even in those perils. But still, we don't get an explanation from Isaiah of why. Maybe this passage of Scripture today gives us a hint to better understand why or how God uses the tests that we go through to enhance, and yes, I would even say, strengthen us for our journey of life and faith. Let me say it this way. You may have heard of something called pre-stressed steel. Some of us in the construction industry have heard of pre-stressed concrete. It's putting that test to the metal. When steel is pre-stressed, it goes through oftentimes a heat treatment and then a cold treatment. And then a compression process. And in the means of pre-testing or pre-stressing still, oftentimes the impurities fall away. And what is left is a stronger, more stable substance to endure the heavy load that's placed upon it. That's the story of steel and how it's pre-stressed, pre-tested. And maybe the same applies to us in some ways in our spiritual testing. Could it be that God uses that tension that we endure? Could it be that God works through that stress that often invades us to also strengthen us for the journey of life, for the loads that will be placed upon us? Perhaps that's the why. But the greater question, or the most important answer for us, church, today, maybe is not the answer to why, but hear this with me. The answer to the question of how. How does God strengthen us? How are we strengthened through our test in life? You know, Jesus gives us a hint. In fact, Jesus spells it out crystal clearly for us in the ending of our passage today when we hear that after he was tested, first he was led by the Spirit, and then after the testing, the angels were there to care for his needs. You see, that scripture is bracketed with God's presence with his Son during his time of testing. How are we strengthened? Friends, we're strengthened when we trust not in our own strength. We're strengthened when we, like the Son of God, rely on the strength from on high to sustain us and help us to overcome what we cannot carry alone. You see, I'm convinced that that's what Abraham, in his time of testing, learned. Abraham would go on to be described as the Apostle Paul as this: one who was seen as righteous before God because he had deep faith. See, the secret of our being tested is when we rely more on God's strength than on our own strength. Friends, that's what faith is, isn't it? And what is faith? What is faith but simply trusting not in ourselves, but in God? I close you with this. This little story that I shared in Bible study recently. In our neighborhood, we have several stray cats. And those stray cats are rather independent souls. They don't want me to touch them. They'll let me feed them as they sneak up on my back porch and eat a little bit of the cat food that we leave out for them. But they won't let me get close to them because they feel threatened. They don't want to lose their freedom. They, in their minds, are free, and then we all know, well, how free are they? I'm sure they're often malnourished, often filled with diseases, cold when it's freezing outside. But in their mind, friends, they're free. If they would only trust me and my family, we could give them such a more satisfying existence. So much more secure, so much more strengthened in their life. If they would just do what? If they would just trust us for their care. Friends, so often, that's the challenge for us as people of faith. In our time of testing, we are tested surely by God, not so that we'll be stronger on our own, but that we'll be strengthened in our faith, in our trust in the Lord. who can indeed be our strength and our Savior from on high. Amen.